The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Rolene Marks, I hope you're with us. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. How are we doing? I hope your weekend was well, as quiet as ours was, except for a few dodgy rockets and sirens. It was mostly quiet.
Goodness. Oh, my goodness. You're not allowed to make us laugh. You're just not allowed to do that. Rolene, I want to read you a note that we've got from a listener. Are you ready?
Okay.
Can I ask Rolene, why is the forming of a coalition government taking so long? Why is it not completed yet? Surely there must be a way of breaking the impasse. I mean, what next? A third election? Isn't that wasteful? And that comes from Hachamor.
Hachamor is extremely, extremely wise. This is the question we all want to know. I think this is the question we're all going to delve into right now. It's our top story for the day. But I tell you, you know that old joke?
Yeah.
That old joke where apparently Prime Minister Meir meets Henry Kissinger and he asks her something about, you know, governing Israelis. And she says, you know what, in America there are hundreds of millions of Americans, but in Israel we are 8 million presidents or prime ministers.
Absolutely.
And that's pretty much it. You know, just when we think we seem to be taking a step forward, we seem to be taking 10 steps back. So there were rumors that we were making progress this weekend, and there were also rumors that we could possibly have gone or are going or may go to a coalition that is a minority government coalition, including the Joint Arab List.
Is that realistic?
I don't think it's realistic. The president, Reuven Rivlin, has actually cautioned against this as an option.
Mm-hmm.
I think what Gantz, who's only got until Wednesday night, what he's trying to do as best as possible is try and include as many sectors of society. That was the platform that he ran on, and it's the platform that has gotten him many votes. But Prime Minister Netanyahu over the last day or so saying that, you know, how can you do this? This is a government that would speak to Hamas, would speak to Iran, really using kind of scare tactic rhetoric. And Gantz has replied in the last hour or so. He said, you know, Netanyahu is using hypocrisy and he's using lies and incitement. And, you know, there's no point in trying to negotiate with him because he's immovable. He's not prepared to compromise. It's like talking to a brick wall, basically. So he's blaming the inability to move forward squarely on Netanyahu, and nobody wants to go to a third election. We have the ultra-Orthodox Shas saying that they perhaps are willing to negotiate, and we had meetings today, apparently very positive meetings between Yisrael Biteinu's Avigdor Lieberman. Avigdor Lieberman, we know, is the kingmaker. He's also a very, very hard line and is also like not one that's easy to compromise with. He met with Netanyahu as well. Also, who said the talks went well and cautioned Lieberman of signing with a government who he says will side with Iran and will side with Hamas. We've heard from Bennett, who said a minority government would not have allowed Operation Black Belt, which is what we're calling our operation last week against Palestinian Islamic Jihad, who've been launching hundreds and thousands of rockets into Israel. But what we do know is we have some details from Benny Gantz's meeting earlier today with Avigdor Lieberman. And apparently there's been a lot of progress made into what areas they are willing to compromise. So apparently the draft of this agreement makes decisions or settles some disputes on issues of religion and state. So it will apparently allow for civil marriages. It will regulate Haredi army deferrals, which is perhaps also why we have it appealing to the ultra-Orthodox, that maybe it's not going to be enforced, but there will be room to maneuver. It will allow for more egalitarian prayer at the Kotel and other areas that are seen to be like more liberal leaning, which is quite interesting. that we have parties like United Torah Judaism and Shas willing to come in. But the reality is that despite this bizarre kind of political tango, nobody wants to go to a third set of elections. So please, everybody, I'm asking you, Chai FM listeners, please cross your fingers, your toes, do whatever you need to do. May we just get to a government.
Rolene, I just can't help thinking about that Einstein who said, I think it was Einstein, about the definition of madness or insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, thinking you're going to get a different result. And it just seems to me that you are suffering from mass insanity in Israel.
Well, you know, welcome to politics, Israeli style.
Okay, you put it like that. Because our listeners are weighing in and have questions for you specifically, we've got another one. I'm going to go there.
I love our listeners. Bring it on, guys.
Bring it on. Well, here it comes. Moshe Miller, please ask Rolene, what happened with Hamas during the battle with Islamic Jihad last week? Did they stay out of it?
Oh, what a, I tell you, our listeners are, we're the best listeners. Well, you have two kind of schools of thought on that, Moshe. You've got the rhetoric coming from people like Yahya Sinwar, who's very, very extremist, part of Hamas, saying that, you know, we stand shoulder to shoulder with Palestinian Islamic Jihad. Israel on Sunday morning blaming the firing of rockets towards Be'er Sheva squarely on Hamas and, in fact, targeting specifically Hamas targets within the Gaza Strip over the last day or so. And then you've got other elements who've said that Hamas have not confirmed this kind of talk in the Arab media or it hasn't been reported in the Israeli media. It's not in their best interest to get into the fray. They need to control what happens in the Gaza Strip. They perhaps are the, and it's going to sound quite ironic, the more moderate of all the parties. But, you know, my instinct and this is just my opinion and my feeling is that, you know, what they can't do, they're going to get, somebody else to do for them. There's a wonderful quote in Hebrew, yeah, which translates that says a righteous man sometimes doesn't do his own work. Well, in this case, the non-righteous is sometimes, leave it up to the even, more non-righteous to do their dirty work for them. Now, I hope that answers your question.
No, it certainly, I think you did a very good job of that, Rolene. Let's go, back to what was planned and let's talk about an Austrian city apparently banning BDS funding. What's the story?
Well, this is very, very interesting, and it's not just this one city, but I have it on good authority from Austria that it's also the capital, Vienna, and the city of Graz in Austria, they have outlawed any public space, any institutional support, and any funding towards the boycotts and sanctions and divestment movement called BDS or BS or whatever you want to call them, as well as for what they call political Islam. So basically, what the ruling by the municipal or the municipalities from both cities say that municipal services are not allowed to support group events that pursue or promote the goals of the BDS movement and political Islam. They say that spaces and institutions that are under the city administration must not be made available to organizations that express themselves in anti-Semitic terms or question Israel's right to exist. And what I find quite fascinating is this coming from Austria with their history of anti-Semitism, and they follow the example set by the German Bundestag earlier this year, who said that BDS is an anti-Semitic movement. And I reckon if countries like Austria and Germany, with their history of anti-Semitism, if they are calling out BDS for anti-Semitic rhetoric and activity, well, I think, you know, the world should be listening to them. I don't know. What do you think, guys?
Well, let's throw it out there. What do you think? You know the numbers. Get hold of us and let us know what you think. Rolene, very quickly, in the short time that's left, University of Toronto discriminating against students requesting kosher food. What kind of discrimination are we talking about?
Okay, so this is very, very troubling. You know, while we're staying on the subject of BDS, the Hillel, which represents Jewish students on the campus of the University of Toronto, petitioned for kosher food to be made available for the more observant students or students who want to eat food that is under the laws of kashrut. And the student union, which is called the Graduate Student Union, told a Jewish student who represents the Hillel that they would not make kosher food available because it would be pro-Israel. Now, this is
really?
Very, very disturbing. First of all, wow. It discriminates against the students based on their religious orientation. And second of all, please pay attention for all those people out there who say that being anti-Israel is not the same as being anti-Semitic. What does Jewish dietary law have to do with Israeli policies that you may or may not agree with? And the Hillel have released a statement against discrimination on the part of the student union, condemning it. And just as a point of interest, this particular student union is the only one of its kind with a committee that's absolutely dedicated to promoting BDS and BDS kind of activity.
Rolene Marks, as always, I just love speaking to you. I find everything that you say just so important and so informative and, important. Important is the word that comes to mind. Look forward to chatting you same time tomorrow. And, no doubt it's going to be every bit as interesting.
Looking forward, guys. Bring your questions.
There you go.